Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode. Today I'm joined by Callum Hardingham, who is a global adventure and leadership experience facilitator, an inner leadership coach, and a life pirate. I love
Ooh,
that.
Oh yeah.
How is life pirating for you these days?
Oh, so much treasure to pirate, so much. It's very good. It's very good. Very rewarding at this point in time.
Good. Thank you so much for coming and having this conversation with me.
My pleasure.
What does adulting mean for you?
Adulting means for me, particularly in the last few years, it's about unfiltered responsibility for my reality. So it's like recognizing the spaces in which I want to blame others or blame something else and going, right, dude, it's time to take the reins back because you are creating your experience. So ultimately for me, yeah, it's about taking the reins in life. And also, as a result of that, recognizing where I need to heal, you know, recognizing the parts of me that are that wounded child, but also the child that just wants to live and breathe in me, and being that conscious parent to myself, being a conscious father to myself. And that probably encapsulates it all, being that conscious father and allowing the kid to play when it needs to, and also, you know, compassionately meeting it where it's at when it's having a bit of a paddy in it. Panic attack and whatever else that comes with this game we call life. Yeah.
I love that. And regular listeners to the show will know that, like, you just basically did a masculine version of what I say most days.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
I'm like, one of these days I should probably pick some people for the show that have a different view. Maybe that would make for more interesting conversation. I don't know. Did you always feel that way?
Did I always feel that way? No. Like, personal development, personal growth has been something that's been in my life for the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, no. I don't even think I've been a man. Like, we say we're a man or a woman age 18 onwards, and I think that's bollocks. I really do think I've come into being a man in the way I see it in the last 2 years of my life, where I've actually been able to be a father to myself. But no, definitely didn't always feel that way. I was chaotic teenager, chaotic early 20s person that definitely wasn't taking the reins, definitely wasn't taking responsibility, and was definitely very destructive in my own life for a long time. So no.
And I think that's part of the journey, right?
Like, I 100%
genuinely, like, I actually think we become, like, if I had to age it, and I actually, you know, I don't think it's Age is kind of irrelevant. Experience is where it's at. But for sure. If I had to age it, I'd say 28 when we have our kind of Saturn return and we have that, like, who the fuck am I experience that is unilateral. It doesn't matter who you ask. Everyone between 28 and 30 has that experience where everything that they thought made them comes crashing down around them in some way. And you get the opportunity to go, is this mine? Is this my parents? Is this society's? Do I really believe this? What? And doesn't matter who you are, in my experience, something happens around that age where you get the opportunity to look at your life in granular detail and make some decisions.
I've got a big smile on my face right now because I'm 29 in December.
Okay.
And, like, obviously 27 is a huge year for us all as well. And it was like the make or break year. But yeah, completely resonate with that. This year's been awesome in terms of exactly what you just said. Like, what is me? What isn't me? What's me trying to live up to an expectation of a parent or, you know, a significant other or whatever? And, you know, who's the real Cal? And how can I bring that into this world in the most authentic way? So yeah, super resonant. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because I just turned 39.
Yeah.
And I literally have no idea where the last 10 years went. I mean, I know because I wrote a book about it, right? Like, I know where it went. And I also, like, time is this weird construct where we've never got enough of it until we take the reins, until we decide what we consciously want to do with it and what measures we're going to use as to whether or not we're using it wisely or in a way that feels good for us. And I use our values for that. So I have something that I call the value filter that I help people identify and then filter their experiences through it, right? Like, so I work out with them what is underneath, what makes them happy, proud, satisfied, and fulfilled. And then use that value filter to make and create a life on purpose that is in line with those values at all times, because it's just reverse engineering. It's quite simple, right? Except that in the day-to-day reality of it, it's not always that simple. And one of the things that I've noticed generally from your social media is that you are a very active and very engaged, very switched on adventurer and experience facilitator, right? And that involves like being committed, being present, and like engaging in all that life brings you. And I'm really curious whether you have times where you want to switch off, where you want to numb, where you want to say no, and where you just want to like disengage.
Yeah. Like before I'm a coach, before I'm this adventure leader, pirate of life, whatever, I'm a human. And I've kind of come to acknowledge that it doesn't matter how much work we do, ultimately we're still going to have the full spectrum of this emotional experiential rainbow brought to us in life. And, you know, through our own experience, we can learn to respond to it more effectively and more efficiently, but perhaps we're not going to eliminate it because it's part of the shadow, it's part of the light. And yeah, I will have those times where it's like, I need to switch off. And perhaps beforehand, like, you know, earlier on, I would have just switched off and numbed. Mm-hmm. But I realize now there's different ways we can switch off. There's ways that are still empowering that we can switch off. And yeah. I'm all about, you know, what do I need? Asking myself what I need. And I love regular check-ins, mind-body connection check-ins, you know. So what is my body telling me right now? Like, mm-hmm. where am I feeling tension? Where am I feeling restriction? Where am I feeling limitation? And how is that showing up for me? And what does that mean? So like, okay, if I'm going to switch off, what am I switching off to? Because we can never actually fully switch off. What am I replacing what I'm focusing on with another focus? And I guess the goal nowadays is, yeah, honor that. It's all about balance, switch off, but replace it with something that's going to help replenish me and bring me back to balance, because that's ultimately that homeostasis, that space of centeredness is where we want to come back to, rather than switching off and putting some terrible stuff on YouTube. You know, I don't watch TV, but I still watch shit on YouTube. You know, and switching off to that, and then like further maybe creating even more chaos. So definitely switch off, but very conscious as to what I'm switching off to. And you know, one of my favorite ways to switch off is actually spending time with friends, just having a laugh, comedy, just, you know, that kind of element is my favorite. Being with family, whatever it may be, but basically unfiltered, having a laugh, great times, not having to have deep combos, but if they come up, great, I'll go with them. Yeah, and getting that balance is my jam.
I think it's so important. So many people look at people in positions of leadership and see that highlight reel, right? And feel like, and use it as a stick to beat themselves with and go, you know what, I'm not like that 24/7. I don't know how to, like, what, you know, how do I do that? How do I cope? What, there must still be something wrong with me. And I really love the idea of switching your focus. So this weekend is a really good example, actually. I just had a weekend where I felt shit for no apparent reason. And now, having kind of done the, give myself what I needed and give myself the space to process, I actually know that what kind of happened is I've had a huge up level in a lot of areas of my life. And after that, there's always a ping back in my reality, and that kind of ping back where I need, where the rest of me needs to catch up. And so I had so many plans, including like going to the gym, seeing some friends and like doing stuff this weekend. And I found myself on the sofa and like in a place where I then started to beat myself up for being lazy. And that's a really well-worn pattern in my head. And then I made the decision to listen to, like, to check in with my inner mother and my inner father. And I was like, what do you need? Like, do I need my inner father right now? Like, do I need to kick up the backside and just like push myself out the fucking door and get to the gym? Or do I need my inner mother who's like, babe, let's just snuggle on the sofa and let's give yourself some love, right? Like, this is okay. You've been there for a lot of people. Like, right now you just need to watch some trash and enjoy it, right? And so I spent like 12 hours, this is hilarious, 12 hours watching 100% Hotter on Netflix, right? Which is a show where they take people with really kind of body dysmorphia in some way, who are really like wearing makeup and clothes as a mask because they're scared of who they really are, and give them a make under so that they can feel really good about being themselves with less like ephemera. And so for me, it's the perfect misfit show, right? Like, it's an underdog revival, like, you can be yourself, it's okay. And like switching that focus into like, and doing it from a conscious place of, yes, this is what I need for 12 hours. It's not forever. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning and like get on with your life. But right now, like, really indulge in this place and do it from a place of consciousness.
Yeah. And that's the key, right? Do it from a space of consciousness and being, I think intention is everything. You know, if as long as you're aligned to an intention that actually is bringing more wholeness into your life or is empowering you in some way, great. The way in which you do that or the vehicle you utilize to do that is irrelevant. As long as you have that intention behind that fueling it, it works, right? But so often we're switched off from that. We're not intentional with things. We're more expectant with things, and we set ourselves up to fail or continue down the rabbit hole of chaos.
Yeah, and like in my experience, what I've also found is I and the clients that I work with have shadows that reappear and represent themselves, and it's the same stuff, right? And so like the particular voice that shows up for me when I'm tired, or the ridiculous, that particular voice that likes to beat me up in a particular way and tell me that I'm bad, is the same one, right? It's the same one that I've had in my head for, you know, a long time now. And I really believe that we have a choice with that. We can choose to numb out what it's saying, right? And choose to go and choose to just play along, right? And get on and bang the drum of like, yeah, you're bad. Yeah, you're lazy. Yeah, you're this or whatever. And like really ramp it up. Or we can start to make friends with that voice and be like, oh, dude, you're going to be around for a while. Right. Okay. Well, it's you. Hey, I'm me. What are you here to teach me? Like, what have you got for me? There must be some wisdom in what you're saying. Like, what is it? And for me, coming at those voices in that way has really changed what I hear. And often they have got pearls for me that previously I would never have been able to acknowledge or been willing to kind of dive into and listen to. Have you experienced anything like that?
Yeah, 100%. I see the parallel between our internal conversations and our external ones. And, you know, if someone was saying something that's arguably not that helpful to you or offensive or whatever it may be, it's obviously because they want to get our attention. And if we can compassionately meet them in that space and go, okay, they aren't saying that from a conscious space, but they want our attention for some reason. So I'm going to compassionately meet them where they're at and ask them what's behind what it is that they're currently offering that isn't quite accurate to what it is they want to offer. And so if we're going to do that in, like, let's say our relationship, which is a, you know, continual space to do that, or with any coaching clients or whatever, let's do that with ourselves. And yeah, I love that. If a voice comes up, yeah, what it's actually saying, you know, the words it's saying may not be the thing that we need to listen to, but exactly as you just put it. let's compassionately meet it and go, well, it does want to say something, and let's find out what that is, what the intention is behind that. And it may not be that helpful, but then in that conversation, you may find out that, and it may find out, it being the voice may find out that it's just being irrational. Mm-hmm. And then we can have that conversation and figure that out together, right? But yeah, I love it. Acknowledge those voices. Don't ignore them. You ignore them, you're essentially resisting them. And what we resist persists. It's just going to get louder or find another way of showing itself. So yeah, acknowledge it all if we can, and find space for everything is super important.
It is, because and I have found that that particular voice and the things that it says, it's like, you know, in a relationship when someone knows you really well, they also know the exact thing to say.
Things to say, yeah.
So, and they get your attention, and you're like, what do you, like, okay, yeah, you hurt me, I'm here. You have 100% of my attention. Mm. What do you want?
Exactly.
And you know when it's someone else that they didn't mean the thing that they've said. They actually just want your attention. Mm. And it's exactly the same with that voice in my head. It doesn't mean you're useless, worthless, and fat. It means, hey, I need your attention.
Acknowledge me.
Say this.
Yeah, exactly.
You're totally going to come and listen. So I do. And yeah, it's been really powerful to make that transition.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah. The more we can realize that it's not to demonize anything and just accept whatever's coming up, and not acceptance isn't lying on our back and going, okay, you have the better of me. No, it's accepting what is there and exploring it, because there's so many things we can learn from ourselves. We don't really need to read a book or watch a talk or anything, but it just makes it easier to start to listen to ourselves and gives us better tools in which to do so. And so we can learn so much from those little voices in our heads, no matter what they're saying, if we can be present enough and mature enough emotionally to meet them with a level of, let's say they say the hurtful thing, and we turn into two little children and we have an argument, that doesn't mean it's the end of the world either. If you can recognize when you're having that immature conflict within your mind, just as you would in your relationships, friendships, whatever, and then go, oh, we're doing that thing where we're just making this worse. Let's stop. Let's shake our face out. Let's stand up. Let's breathe. And then let me hear what you're actually asking of me, because there's something you want that I'm not giving you. And it's all about wholeness. So happy days when you can do that. It just takes the effort. And a lot of people aren't willing to stop whatever it is they're doing, because we get so addicted, me too, into making what's outside of us more important than what's inside of us. But when we can realize everything outside is being determined by that, so stop what you're doing, breathe, listen, acknowledge, explore. It makes life much smoother water to sail, to continue the pirate analogy.
It really does. And it makes our relationships deeper, it makes actually parenting a lot less hard, because you've had some practice, right?
Yeah, you're the first kid. Everyone's got a kid, we just don't recognize it.
Yeah, it's so true. I think when I started to recognize the three-year-old in myself, like, oh, you're throwing a fucking tantrum, what's going on? And rather than, like, and I was the worst. I totally shouted at my three-year-old. I was the most impatient mother. It's like, I'm really fucking busy, I'm trying to build a business, could you just shut up? I was working with a coach at the time who was like, would you treat an actual three-year-old like that? And I realized at the time, I was like, not on purpose, but maybe.
At times maybe, but then I'd regret it.
And they're like, well, what happens if you do treat a three-year-old like that? And I'm like, oh, that's why it's getting louder and more angry. And like, what happens if, like, you know, but you hear coaches and stuff saying, what happens if you do the same thing over and over? It's madness, right? Like, so what happens if you do something different? And my experience is that it can be so frustrating and being like, I don't know what to do different. If I knew what to do different, I'd be doing it. And for me, that's where being in relationship or working with a coach or being in a group container is actually so important, because yes, we can totally do this work on our own, But having someone hold space for us, witness us, and mirror things for us just expedites that process and makes it so much quicker. It's like it catalyzes it, but also makes it more fun. And when things are more fun, we're much more likely to learn and remember them.
Well, look, yeah, if things are more fun, there's play involved, the inner child that's wounded or whatever is going to be much more likely to want to get on board, right? It doesn't want to do the work if it looks boring, but if we can bring play into it, it's an exceptionally great space to, as you say, help digest these things and embody them. And that's, for me, why we bring together personal development, those deeper talks with the adventure experience, the courage and finding that sense chakra. We can speak to them, what's coming up for them, what fears are blocking them. Yeah. But then if we combine that with an actual visceral experience straight away after that of, like, for instance, one of our past events, cliff diving, right? That there's no other thing like it to help you let go and surrender and face your fear. And this is adventure leadership for us now is all about that. It's holding that space for people so there's no excuses but to actualize what it is they're learning that they can intellectually understand. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, and I'd love you to speak to this, but being in this personal development space, the ego is crafty, right? So to put it this way, the ego is crafty. And you can get into the personal development space, but the ego is still completely leading the way in the sense that it's just learning these things to further bypass everything. And so we can get so good at reciting the line, reading the book, quoting the post, you know, blah, 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 blah. But we just got thicker into our own bullshit. So that's why we combine the visceral things of, now let's jump off a cliff, or now let's go deep sea diving. Now let's go and do this. Now let's climb that mountain, because no one can hide from that. And exactly what you're saying with the coach is going to find your BS and bring it out in front of you and hold you to that space. Hopefully.
If they're any good. Yeah. Yeah.
If they're any good, right. They're going to keep you accountable to your higher self. They're not accountability buddies, but they're going to help you keep yourself accountable to your highest version of yourself. And so that's what it's about, bringing that intellectualized theoretical experience of the growth and the fears and stuff, and then go, right, now let's apply that. Let's do it. Let's go and do it. Right now, no excuses. And geez, it's liberating. It's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Challenging. But on the other side of all those challenges, there's an exceptional reward. And that's what I'm about. I like to put my money where my mouth is, walk the talk, live and breathe it. And that doesn't mean that I'm perfect and I never will be. However, I am not afraid of taking those actions. And my goal is to inspire other people to recognize those beautiful lines and the shifts. And now let's go and use it. Go and use it. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again.
And it doesn't stop getting any scared. Like you just said, I'm not afraid to. It's like, I am afraid every day. And one of the things that I have, like so many people say to me, you're so brave, you're so courageous, you do this and you do that. And I'm like, I know I'm not. Like last year I had this thing. It's like, I know that you're telling me that I'm brave and courageous quite a lot. And I know that I'm not pushing my edge. I know that there are some things that I know how to do that are like actually within my comfort zone. And there are other things that aren't. So like a little while ago, I brought out an underwear range with a friend and I modeled it on and that was like beyond my edge of comfort zone. Right. And then like last year I shaved my head. That was beyond my comfort zone. Right. So for me, I totally agree. Like I'm in that place of walking my talk where it's really important to continually putting myself on the comfortable edge of resistance, where I'm not putting myself into panic, not putting myself into freak out, like never going to fucking do anything again. That was horrible. But take myself into a place where after each challenge, I'm like, yes,
exactly.
I'm so proud of myself right now.
Exactly. Mm. And what I'm hearing you say is like, people can look at you and be comparing. If they was doing that, that would be them out of their comfort zone or being courageous. But perhaps for you, sometimes it's not. And I've got a great friend. For most people jumping out of an airplane, that'd be super scary. It would be for me. Jesus, super scary. I'm going to do it, but it'd be super scary. He can do it. Now, it's still scary for him, but the difference is his relationship to that event. And I got a good example of that, actually. when I was in Bali last, we'd gone to a place up in the north of Bali, and it has a 50-foot cliff dive. And that's huge. You can count to three, like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, that kind of style, count to three and four. It's fucking scary. And so, long story short, my friend who I thought for the first time was cliff diving as well, cool, but he's done it, and he's done it, I can do this, and sent her into it, run and jump off this cliff, and it was incredible. You jump out of the water and you're shouting, you're screaming, you're letting it all out. It feels incredible. You've got so much energy, and then you're like, let's do it again, and you run back up to the top of the cliff. The funny thing is, though, the fear's still there. Even though you know you survive, even though you know you're safe, even though you know you're cool, fear's still there. However, one little difference. You know, my relationship to the fear was slightly different, just a little bit. So the courage was a little bit more prominent. My relationship was a little bit more different because I knew I was safe. Jump again, and we do it four times. Each time the fear is still there, but the relationship changes as I replicate that action of facing it. So my thought on what you were saying there is like, yeah, we're all still going to have fear because fear is there for a reason. If fear didn't exist, we'd probably all die tomorrow because we need it to keep us alive. But mm-hmm. It's our relationship with it that changes, right? And as we build our connection to courage, or allow that ability to connect to courage to come through more effectively and efficiently, then we can face our fears much quicker, rather than all the excuses that we have around it and avoidance strategies to not do so. You're right.
Yeah, and for me, the last part of that is like, in a yoga class, so my background's in yoga, and I used to be a yoga teacher many moons ago, and I still use the yoga principles in my everyday work. And here's the deal: when you're looking around at a yoga class, you may very well be comparing yourself to the person on the next mat, and every teacher will tell you, eyes on your own mat, and you have no idea whether somebody else is pushing themselves to the edge of their resistance or not. You've got no idea whether that person's body just does that naturally or not, and we're often so busy comparing ourselves or looking at everybody else's mats and going, they could do that. And that's, we may be hurting ourselves because we're not paying attention. We've got no idea what we can do. And it's an inside job, right? Like it's you have no idea what's going on for someone inside unless you ask them or unless you engage with them in a sense of intimacy. And for me, that's such an important part of being an adult, is stopping comparing ourselves and creating our own lives that really feel as good on the inside to us as they perhaps look on the outside. Because the outside bit is irrelevant, and it isn't, because it's really nice and it's really important, but it is only ever a reflection of what's going on inside for us.
Mm. Yeah, it certainly is. It's amazing the mask that we can wear, right? That can seem one way and it can be the exact opposite in the internal world. And again, it comes back to recognizing that yes, the image outside is great, but doing the work is the only thing we can ever show up for. And that's going to come in many different ways. Lessons and experiences come in many different ways, and some of them are going to be really freaking hard and painful, and we all require suffering at times, right? In fact, most of us will have the biggest transformations and growth in our life through desperation rather than inspiration. And if we can be accepting of them all and trust that we all have the inner leadership resources within us to get through this. And sometimes we need a bit of help from somebody else. In fact, most of the time we're going to benefit from that. We all have the resources we need. We can get through anything and stop being perhaps judgmental on the times that aren't so squeaky clean and sparkly. Because yeah, they're going to come. That's part of being a human, isn't it? 100%.
Yeah. Thank you. You are wise beyond your years, and it's a pleasure talking to you. And I feel like we could talk all day long. If people want to
find you,
absolutely. At some point, we'll figure that out. If people want to come find you and hang out with you online, where's the best place for them to come?
Facebook. So Instagram is at Callum Hardingham, or Facebook, same thing. Very active on those two spaces at the moment. So come find me over there.
Awesome. Now, your internet dropped in and out, or Callum's internet dropped in and out a little bit towards the end of that, and we'll make sure that everything's on the show notes and that you can click through really easily to go and follow up and hang out. Thank you. Let's see whether the internet holds up just for us to do an I'm an adult but. Have you got an I'm an adult but for me?
Yes, I'm going to just see what comes up when I say it. I am an adult, but I still fuck up regularly, and I am willing to admit to those things and do the work to come back to the space of taking the reins, because it's okay to fuck up.
I love that. Thank you for that. Yeah, what's mine today? I am an adult. Oh, so I'm about to leave for Spain in a couple of hours. I'm traveling again. So I'm an adult, but I fucking hate packing, and I wish I had a mum. It's one of the few times in life where I'm like, why won't someone do it for me? And I become a whingy child. thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing, so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.